Project Podcast. The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's going on, K-State Nation? This is another edition of the Purple Project Podcast, weekly edition. This is episode 90, 90th episode here on the Purple Project Podcast, recording on this cold, well, here in Manhattan, Kansas, in this cold weather, as we suspect or are expecting another push of a winter storm here late tomorrow afternoon, Thursday, as I'm recording this on March 8th, Tuesday, 2022. Welcome into another edition of the weekly edition of the podcast, where we talk about Kansas State athletics here in Manhattan, Kansas. I'll bring in my co-host in just a moment. Again, the Purple Project Podcast. If you're new to the show, welcome on board. You've been following for a while. Of course, you can find the Purple Project Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We record these things either on Wednesday or Thursday, but we're recording a couple of days early because of the tournaments that's going to be going down, actually starting tomorrow with the men in Kansas City. Both Big 12 men and women's basketball tournaments are in Kansas City. I believe the women's are in Multi-Municipal Arena, while the men are back at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City, and it kicks off tomorrow with the play-in game, which K-State is in the play-in game against West Virginia. More on that momentarily. Now, I'm going to go ahead and bring on my co-host, usually on the Purple Project Podcast weekly edition. He doesn't live here. He lives out west in San Diego, California. He just celebrated a birthday. None other than Alex Aiden. Happy birthday, belated birthday, sir. How you doing?
Doing good, Eddie. Doing good. I'm a year older and a year wiser, so hopefully that will help the show. Then I'll have another year of wise takes that I can add to this podcast. Now, I don't know if I call my takes wise, but I am 30 now, so I've entered the 30s club. It was a good birthday. Well, I want to say it was a good birthday. I mean, I worked pretty much all day, but hey, you know, that's fine. You know, it was an uneventful day. And then, this weekend, I'll do a little, we'll celebrate with family. We'll celebrate, my birthday and, Bruce Weber's departure from the program. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a good time. Good time. I'm kidding. I don't know if Bruce will be fired by the weekend or not. Jury's still out on that one. But yeah, Eddie, a lot going on for K-State. You mentioned basketball. I don't think when Big 12 play began, we thought that these two respective basketball programs were going to have the 6 seed and the 9 seed in their tournaments. I think that we, based on the way things were going with the women's team, I think that we thought that they were going to do better than the 6 seed. The way things were going with the men's team, I think we thought they'd do better than a 9 seed or an 8 seed, whatever they are. 8, 9, mm-hmm. I think they're 8, but whatever. Fine, you get my point. Playing in the play-in game, I think we all thought, you know, they were going to do better than that, but here we are. We got two basketball programs that are just falling apart right now, it seems, and lo and behold, they're not in the best positions going into these tournaments, but the women's team is going to be going to the NCAA tournament, so they've got that going for them. They're in a better shape. The men's team, as we all know, that they would have to win the tournament to get into the NCAA tournament, which is not going to happen. In fact, they would probably have to get to the championship game to even have a chance at NIT, which is also not going to happen. So any sort of postseason play is pretty much out the window for them, which I'm not complaining at this point. I'm kind of, and we'll get into this more, Eddie, but I'm kind of the point where I'm just ready to get this offseason going with the basketball program and get the coaches turned over, begin a hiring process, finding a new guy and trying to keep track of the pack, and a coach trying to find their guys and begin to mold their team. I'm just ready to begin that chapter, because I think that we all just want that page turned. So, we'll talk about this week. Big 12 weekend is always great. Big 12 tournament weekend, it's always a blast. But it's not as fun when your team sucks, so.
Yeah.
so it's just kind of like, okay, whatever. But you know, also in football side of things, Eddie, we talked about this, but they began spring ball today. No great way to begin spring ball, right? There's the snow and ice of Manhattan, and this spring, like, snow and ice in Kansas, and even more snow coming, as you mentioned, later in the week, so. They are beginning to get their football activities underway for the spring, and we'll talk about that in the coming weeks. But lots going on. The men's baseball team, they did win 2-3 on the series that I said against Loyal Marymount, I believe it was. They, as I said in our last podcast, they have got to win that series. They just have to, and they did. So they didn't get the sweep, but they got 2-3, so they're at least. There at least did, you know, it could have been worse. We'll just put it that way. So, lots to dive into.
Yeah, and staying on baseball before we transition to the preview of the men's tournament. And then, of course, later on, we'll take a look at the women's bracket for K-State. Of course, staying on baseball, obviously, tonight was supposed to be the season home opener for baseball. That got pushed to tomorrow afternoon due to, of course, with K-State's return trip from California. Obviously, there was a little bit of snowfall apparently in the area. I didn't see any snow, at least not yet. But due to a little bit of participation, obviously, they pushed the game back to tomorrow afternoon. And that's where I believe people were telling me that the snow is going to be starting to fall around either before then or around that time for sure. So interesting enough there. We'll see whether activity happens around that time tomorrow when this podcast comes out. This podcast actually will come out either in the morning around lunchtime, so around there sometime. But yeah, Wednesday afternoon, scheduled first pitch 4 p.m. at Twin Family Stadium. Tonight was supposed to be the Nebraska game, but that got pushed to tomorrow. We'll have to see what happens, weather pending at the recording of this podcast, 10:14 Central Time here in Manhattan, where the host lives. Alex lives out there in San Diego. Of course, single game tickets are on sale now, just starting at $5 as well. And of course, Alex mentioned it, K-State coming off of winning 2-3 from Loyola Marymount. They did win their first series of the 2022 season. Now they'll be facing Nebraska with, hopefully they can get that game in. We'll see what happens. Obviously, when weather comes around Manhattan, it somehow escapes Manhattan, hits other places for whatever reason.
There's a bubble over Manhattan, Eddie. There is a bubble over the city.
Yeah, a bubble that we can't see for sure.
Can't see it, but you're right. That weather just kind of goes right around the city every single time.
Yep, so Cats are trying to get back on track here. As I've been saying on the dailies as well, they got 9 of their next 10 at home. Obviously, we touched on this last week on the show, that the K-State baseball team has been very tough at Twin Family Stadium, as they should be. So a lot of bright spots on that team. So let's see if they can get it going here. 3-7, coming home after a 10-game road trip out there, out west and in the Midwest, where they started down there at Globe Life Park, home of the Texas Rangers. So that's a little bit of baseball there. Now moving on into the basketball side, folks. As we mentioned, this is going to be basketball heavy once again. K-State in first. Obviously, K-State did not get the job done against Oklahoma over the weekend there. Lose that game, and Oklahoma probably did the best job on Nigel Pack that we've seen all season long here. K-State falls in Bramlage, which set up this matchup here. Let's see, I got the tab open. Yeah, which sets up the showdown here in West Virginia. K-State loses 78-71. Umoja Gibson hits 7 threes from downtown to beat K-State in this one. Mike McGurl had another big game at home. 21 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists for him. Mark Smith, if I can open up the box score here. Mark Smith down. I know Mark Smith had a big game. Another big game. Mark Smith was terrific against Oklahoma in both games. Did not get a double-double like he did in the first game, though, but scored 22, actually. So Mark Smith led the Cats with 22 points, 3 assists, 9 rebounds. So he's one shy of a double-double in this one. Nigel Pack held to 10 points in this one. Again, Oklahoma did not want to let Nigel Pack beat him in this one, apparently. So that game plan worked. And then, of course, you get, let's see down here, Ishma Shud, he had 11 points. No Marquise Noel for the second consecutive game. And I don't know the status on him. Like I said in the daily on yesterday, that's up now. I don't know the status on him. Hopefully they can have him back for tomorrow night, because if they don't, you stand no chance, really, against West Virginia, in my opinion. You got to have him on the floor, which sets up this showdown with West Virginia. Obviously, West Virginia, K-State in the regular season, 1-1. K-State should have swept this series. You want to be obviously blunt. K-State blew a 17-point lead on the road in Morgantown early this season. And then K-State managed to hold serve at home. So this is pretty much the rubber game here. The loser of this game, you got to go play KU, number one seed. So don't get any easier, obviously. Definitely don't get easier for K-State here. So obviously West Virginia, these two teams know each other. There's not really much said, Alex, when these two teams meet, obviously. What were your thoughts on Oklahoma and kind of your thoughts here going up to this playing game for K-State? Pretty much is the 8-9. Well, K-State is the 8. West Virginia is the 9. K-State knows what they have to do pretty much if they're going to even make a big run hopefully stay in the tournament long enough.
Yeah, you know, my initial thoughts were kind of, even though, K-State, I think, we all knew going into the Oklahoma game, look, those tournament hopes are gone. Those are gone, unlikely to happen. But there was still a handful of those on the line going into that Oklahoma game. And I think the most notable was that with the win, they could have jumped from the 8th seed to the 6th seed. And if they could have done that, then they could have gotten a bye in the Big 12 tournament, or avoid the play-in, however you want to look at it. And then they would have played Texas Tech, a team who they beat by 11 at home, and they lost by 5 on the road in a game that they were leading with a couple minutes left. So a team that they clearly, a team that they clearly can play with. They've proven that. They proved it without Marquise Noel. In the game in Lubbock. And so, essentially, that Oklahoma game was kind of a play-in game in and of itself into the tournament and in the Big 12 tournament. So if you could have gotten that win, you could have positioned yourself much better going into the Big 12 tournament. You could have been in a position where if you beat Texas Tech, then you would have ended up going up against probably Baylor, likely, in the semifinal, which is not a good matchup. Baylor is banged up right now, missing a ton of guys. And you could have, if you pulled the upset, you could have gotten a shot at, maybe trying to, pull an upset on them in the semifinal. And even if you didn't pull that off, if you were able to get a win against Tech, you would have positioned yourself to potentially be able to get an NIT bid, because you wouldn't have finished below 500. Which they now will do. So if you once again, if they would have been able to beat Oklahoma and then hold down set against Tech. So once again, you know, you're kind of nitpicking, picking the hairs at that point, but you know, because obviously we don't want to make the NCAA tournament, but still, you know, there was a lot of line in that Oklahoma game. So as frustrating as things have been, and as much as I wanted to say, gosh, you know what, I don't, why flip the Oklahoma game on? Like, why watch it? I did watch it because there was still a lot on the line for this Cats team. And, you know, ultimately, Eddie, I left it underwhelmed. Shocker. The defense was horrid. And I don't know what's happened, Eddie, with K-State defense this year, but they just got worse on the back half of Big 12 play. The K-State's defense has just been awful. And that is not something that you usually see with a Bruce Weber team. I don't know what it is, but guys just aren't moving, aren't rotating, aren't they're just not guarding. It's just bad. It's just bad all over the court. And they cannot rebound worth a darn. They, as we already know, at one point in the Oklahoma game, they were being outrebounded 30-13. And Oklahoma had a 14-2 rebounding edge coming out in the second half. So that's pretty bad. That is pretty bad. That is not a formula for success, Eddie, to winning basketball games. So K-State ended the game. They weren't that bad, you know, from shooting the ball 47.5%, 7-19 from three. You know, they did the job there, but they got rebounded 37-22. And here's the other thing, Eddie. They forced 14 turnovers, and they only turned the ball over 7 times. They took care of the ball, and they forced turnovers. But, they couldn't rebound the basketball, and it killed them. And Oklahoma took advantage of that. And Oklahoma ended up, like I said, winning that rebounding margin by 15. And it just killed K-State, broke their back. So it was just a frustrating game, Matty. It was just a frustrating game. And boy, oh boy, did Gibson get hot for Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
He was hot and was knocking threes down. And I think what was frustrating early on, Eddie, was that K-State was moving the ball and missing close to the Oklahoma was not moving the ball. Their offense looked stagnant because K-State's defense actually I thought was pretty good early, but Gibson was just nailing tough threes. So Gibson's over here not nailing tough threes while Oklahoma's not moving the ball. K-State is moving the ball and doing all the right things, and they're missing shots near the hoop. And it's just like, okay, it's going to be that type of game I see. Cool. And indeed it was. So, you know, K-State, they should fight, Eddie. They fought back. They tried to make some pushes, especially kind of there in the middle parts of the game. And I also thought that you mentioned it, Mark Smith with 22 points, 9-17 from the field. Mike McGurl, 21 points. There you go. Your two seniors combined for 43 of your 71 points. So really, really nice job by them. But look, that Oklahoma defense, their defensive game plan, their scheme to slow down Nigel was really, really good. And Nigel could not get loose. He could not get going. There were a handful of reasons for it. According to Bruce Weber, he had a stomach virus. I'm sure that didn't help. He was in foul trouble, as we saw. So that kind of cut down on his minutes. And by the way, he shouldn't have been on the bench that long, but that's a different discussion for a different point, for a different topic. but then what his fourth foul was just a horrific call. K-State didn't lose because of the officiating, but oh my gosh, the foul they called on Nigel Pack with 7 minutes to go, where he off-looked with an OU player underneath the basket. It was just a horrible call. Just an absolutely horrible call. It just once again gets to my frustration that I talked about last week about Nigel. Everyone is so physical with him. And the refs just let it go. And anytime Nigel gets physical back, whistle. And it ticks me off. Eddie, this guy is the first team all Big 12. Or give him the damn benefit of the doubt. He's not very big. Like, and guys can just get physical and bully around with him. And officials just let it go. It just drives me crazy. But anyway, that was a BS call. But Nigel couldn't get going. They had a great game plan to slow him down. And look, it was tough. It was a tough loss because at that point, now you're playing in the play-in game, and it's just like, oh my gosh, like how the hell did we end up here? Like seriously, how did we go from the bubble to playing into the play-in, the lone play-in game in this damn tournament against West Virginia? I don't know. But it does look like Marquise Noel, Eddie, will probably go. I saw on Twitter today that he was practicing with them, so I know that was part of what Bruce wanted, is he said that I'm having trouble like running out playing him without practicing. Well, looks like he practiced, so I'm going to guess he's going to go. He also tweeted 4 games in 4 days, so I don't think he would have tweeted 4 games in 4 days if he wasn't going to play.
yeah.
So also, I like his optimism there, 4 games in 4 days. We'll see.
We'll see.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. Yep.
But you go into the West Virginia game, and you know we'll dive into this even more a little more on the podcast. But you go into the West Virginia game, and it's like, okay, you know, I'm at the point, Eddie, where obviously I want the Cats to win. I'm always going to cheer for the Cats, but am I going to be disappointed at all if they lose this game? No, really not, because I'm just at the point where I'm ready to turn the page. I'm ready to just focus on the next chapter for this basketball program, and that's just kind of where I'm at. I'm sick of watching mediocre basketball. I'm sick of the excuses. I'm sick of, I don't care that Nigel had a stomach virus. I don't care that the officials missed a call against Nigel against Texas Tech. I don't care that they had COVID issues at the beginning of the year, Bruce. I don't care that the coaches, you know, weren't able to practice with a full squad of 10 because of injuries. Like, I'm just sick of these excuses, Eddie. And because when you look at this team, and this team underperformed. This team 100% underperformed. And the reason I say that is because look at the Big 12 accolades. You've got a Big 12, the sixth player in K-State history to become a Big 12, all Big 12 first team, sixth player in K-State history. You've got that guy, who is also, by the way, the most improved player in the Big 12.
That would be Nigel Pack.
Third team. Yeah.
Nigel Pack.
You've got a Big 12 third teamer on your team as well. Talking about Mark Smith right there. You've got a Big 12 honorable mention in Marquise Noel. You have got a Big 12 all first team defense in Marquise Noel. You've got guys. You've got players, and this team underperformed. Because when you look at the talent on that team, there's no reason for that. And there's no reason for the lack of development that we have seen from the bigs this year. It's just, that's what killed them, Eddie. That is what absolutely killed this team, is the front court. I really hate to be harsh, but it's a joke. I mean, it is a complete and utter joke, K-State's front court. They may as well not even have a big on this roster. Like, legitimately, that is how useless their bigs are. They don't even play, Eddie. They don't even play. K-State says, F it, we're playing 5 guards. Let's go. Like, they legit just don't care. And, I mean, what can they do? I mean, that's all they can do. All their bigs drop balls and miss layups. So, I mean, what are you supposed to do when that's happening? And I don't mean this to be harsh. I really don't. It's just so frustrating to see the bigs so play so bad. I've never seen a basketball team in my life with bigs that bad. I've never seen it. It baffles my mind. It baffles my mind. And it's killed this team. And it's the reason they're not going to go to the NCAA tournament. Because any competent level of big play, this team is going to the NCAA tournament. With that guard duo, with Noel, Smith, and Pack, come on, man. You're too good. You're too good for that trio to not be playing in March. You just are. I don't care if it's an 11 seed, it's a 12 seed, it's a 2 seed. I don't care what it is. That trio is too good to not be playing in March. And the bigs are to blame. Bruce is to blame for that. And it's just frustrating. So, yes, I was frustrated after the Oklahoma game, and I am frustrated going into the Big 12 tournament, but, and that's why I'm ready to turn the page on this team. But with that said, in the West Virginia game, looking at that particular game, you know, K-State, they just need to come out and really rely on the guards. You know, I think you mentioned it. You need Marquise Noel. I agree. You know, K-State needs, they need the guard play. You know, they need the guard play. They need the firepower on offense. It's the only way they're going to have any, any shot at making any sort of push in this Big 12 tournament. You know, I understand West Virginia went 4-14 in Big 12 play. I do think K-State will win that game and get out of that game because I do think K-State's better, the better team. But West Virginia's got they do have some scorers, though. They do have guys. They do have some guys that can score the basketball. I don't know if you recall, but in the last game, they had a couple guys kind of get free K-State and get going. So K-State does need to look out for that. I believe it was Sherman who got going against them in Manhattan. He's averaging over 18 a game. Really, really good player. And then, you know, if Sherman gets hot, you know, K-State could go home on a Wednesday night. But if K-State can come out, if Nigel Pack can come out and do his thing, the guards can do their thing. I think K-State will advance. And go on to play KU and you know, lose by 20, 25, whatever it'll end up being. I won't see it because I'll be working, and I really won't be complaining about that.
I'll be working as well, so yeah.
So I probably won't see it. I'll probably flip it on the TV. I work from home, so I may flip it on the TV and peek in, kind of like I did at the Baylor game last year. But, they don't have a shot in hell against KU, obviously, if they win. I mean, I think we all know that, so... You know, it's you win a game against West Virginia and you get blown out against KU, or you lose against West Virginia. That's kind of the way I see it. The way I see it going. Look, I could be wrong, Eddie. I could be wrong. They surprised us all last year, and they put up that game against Baylor where they about beat them. That was wild. That was crazy. I literally could not believe what I was watching in that game. But that game also had Davion Bradford going for like over 20 points, and I would pay you $100, Eddie, if Davion Bradford scored over 20 points in a Big 12 tournament game. So that is how comfortable I am at that Davion Bradford. I swear, if he goes for 20 points tomorrow, Eddie, I'm gonna be so mad.
You're gonna mail me that check.
The joke's gonna be on me if he goes for 20 points. Maybe I should make it 30 just to be safe. No, that's cheating. So that's kind of where it's at. And it's just kind of stinks that you go into Kansas City, you go into the Big 12 tournament, it's such a fun time. And, you want hope, you want belief. I've been at that time, the Sprint Center, and, for a Big 12 championship game. And that environment's electric. It's a fun place to be. And, like I said, it's just a bummer that the K-State's not going to be able to, be able to really take it, you know, enjoy that. The K-State fans aren't going to really be able to enjoy that because this basketball program is just frustrating as hell right now. So, it'll be a good weekend. The conference is really good. I'm sure there'll be good games. I just don't think a lot of them involve K-State.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
K-State basketball, men's basketball. Last five games, they've lost the last five games. Or I should say, K-State men's basketball has lost five straight. And again, this playing game of the Big 12 tournament 2022, tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPNU. This is the Pro Project Podcast, Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, episode 90. The bigs, nowhere to be found for the second half of the year, pretty much all year long, to be, if I want to be honest with that.
You brought up a good point with Davion Bradford. Went off against Baylor last year, and we thought that he would take a step forward. And we talked about that last week on the Pack podcast. And we both know where you stand on that. He's taking a couple of steps the wrong direction. And he literally is probably, if I would have guessed it, his scoring average, he's only getting one bucket a game with 2 points a game. So, if you were to score, go off, and somehow become Davion Bradford again, this team is playing definitely in the NCAA tournament. If you get the production that you got from last year's Davion Bradford, but not the 2022 Davion Bradford, not or Casey Ziegu, he was okay early on, but he's kind of gotten no minutes. His minutes has diminished big time. Carter Lingard, we've seen him in and out of the lineup. So he's in the lineup, and the next, like, he takes the next six games off, and then he's back in again. So I don't know what's going on there.
The fact that Davion Bradford averaged just a bucket a game is literally like, if you would have told me that last year, I would have thought I was on old show after Ashton Kutcher if you told me that was going to happen this year. I mean, who on earth would have predicted that after what we saw from him last year? Fran Fraschilla was on ESPN last year talking about how he was going to be better than David McCormick at KU this year, and gosh, now he's averaging 2 points a game. That's just insane. I don't know how you were. I understand you had pneumonia, Eddie. I get it. I can't even imagine what it's like trying to come back and play basketball after pneumonia. I cannot imagine. But averaging 2 points a game, how on earth did his game regress that far? It's really hard for me to wrap my mind around it. It really is.
And somebody in the last broadcast, or was it a broadcast before, somebody said something about the coaching of the big men or something like that. I don't know if I heard it from the broadcast or I heard it from a podcast. There's a lot of blame to go around right now. And Davion Bradford, the last time he played against West Virginia, that 78-73 win for K-State, Davion Bradford did score 4 points. Yeah, not much of an improvement there.
He did double the season average,
though. Yep. And let's see, Marquise Noel was huge in the game, 21 points. Let's see, 3 steals, 3 assists, and 2 rebounds. Mark Smith added 17. He had a double-double, 17 and 10. Nigel only had 13 points in the game. Yeah, you mentioned it, Alex. You can't let those shooters from West Virginia go off, or it's going to be a long night for K-State tomorrow. Sherman, he went off in that first half. 23 points overall. He was 8 of 10. No, that was from the free throw line, actually. He was 7 for 15 from the field. We had Johnson, 15 points in the game, along with Cottrell, 13 as well, I'm bouncing around a little bit. The West Virginia, you cannot let West Virginia go off in the game, or K-State's going home tomorrow night. So you can't let it happen. You can't do it. If you get the production from Mike McGurl, last couple of games he's been really good. No, McGurl, he scored only 6 last time they played against the Mountaineers, but McGurl has been really, really good here. His Wildcat career here at K-State is coming to a close. They get more production from him. I think that's going to be one of the keys to the game. McGurl, he's been playing very well here down the stretch. But little for no, nothing to really show for, because K-State ain't winning ball games. We already know that. K-State finished the Big 12. Before we talk about the women, K-State finished conference play 6-12. And they come in here, this Big 12 tournament, not here, but in KC, 14-16. Alex, you're spot on. You get play from your number 4 and 5 guys down there, whether that was Ezeagu or Davion Bradford, who we have hammered on the Pro Project podcast all season long. This team is NCAA bound. You look at this back half. Let me go back here real quick here.
You don't go 2-7 in 5-point in games decided by 5 points or less, if you have any resemblance of play, I mean, none. I mean, you flip that. Instead of going 2-7, you go, you're over 500 in those games, and you're going to the tournament.
And we said all along, or you said that, I can't remember what record it was. I think it was 8-10 or something like that. You're going to the tournament.
I thought the 8-10 good Big 12 record could potentially get them in. Now, I will say this, Eddie. I said that prior to kind of what they did in the non-con. They kind of put themselves in a tough position with the non-con because they lost that Marquette game. They lost that Ole Miss game. They lost some of those, so I don't know if 8-10 would have gotten them in. I think then they may need to, if they went 8-10, they might have needed to get one in Kansas City, win a game in Kansas City. But all in all, I think 8-10 would have, they would have been firmly on the bubble with 8-10. Because I mentioned last week, Eddie, I think K-State is in the top 10 in the country in strength schedule.
They don't
have that problem.
So, but where TCU, because looking at the standings now, pulled it back out, TCU finished conference play 8-10. Oklahoma State, they're 1 point, they're one time down there, eighth in the standings. They've gotten a little hot. They're 8-10. They finished the conference play 8-10. They've got two teams sitting there, 8-10. TCU, 19-11 overall. Oklahoma State still fighting. They're even at 500. Everybody else, well, Iowa State 20-11 overall record, but 7-11 in conference play, along with Oklahoma, also 7-11 in conference play, but they're 17-14 Oklahoma. From what I got from the last broadcast, when Oklahoma played finished off K State, Oklahoma, if they can get past their first round matchup, could be sitting in a good spot. They can get in the tournament.
Maybe. Their schedule isn't as tough as K-State. They don't have all the same metrics. I think right now Joe Lunardi has them in the next four out category. But if they win, that will mean that they will beat Baylor. That's a pretty damn good win. So maybe they may be able to jump all the way from the next four out into in if they get that win. But if they're, look, Oklahoma, they're a decent little squad. They don't have a superstar per se, but they've got some scrappy guys.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So here to find kind of to set the stage here, at least for K-State's side of the bracket. Of course, they play West Virginia tomorrow night, and when this podcast comes out, they'll be getting ready to play West Virginia. So K-State, they know what to do. Marquise Noel already was mentioned tonight that four games, 4 days. Well, first night, you got to get past West Virginia. And then you get to think about Kansas, who sits the number one seed in this Big 12 tournament. And then on the other flip side, 4 seed Texas versus TCU in the fifth seed there. And then looking on the other side of the bracket real quick, Baylor, number 2 seed, taking on Oklahoma, as Alex just mentioned, the 7th seed. And then Texas Tech, the 3rd seed, taking on Iowa State, who is the 6th seed in this tournament. So this is going to be exciting. Yeah, it's going to be a good game. And this is going to be some good games, and you're going to see something that we don't expect. that you don't expect. So for K-State fans, this is kind of the transition moment here after either tonight or Thursday night or whatever. I'm kind of ready as well to jump into the next page chapter of K-State men's basketball. Reading Tim Fitz's daily delivery. So, wow, that's a tongue quick twister. Daily delivery this morning. Talk about Gene Taylor trying to get a jump on the next head coach. That's going to be plenty to talk about down the road. I don't want to get in that avenue right now. But so
he's right. I'll just say he's right.
Yeah, he's right. Yeah, Gene Taylor. Yeah, clock is ticking. Probably starting now. So
I agree. Yes, 100%.
So we'll see what happens there. But obviously, K-State still has to play
a basketball game, which is the Big 12 Championship first round of a playing game. K-State, the 8th seed, took it on West Virginia, the 9th seed, tomorrow on ESPNU. For those of you who cannot make a trip to Kansas City, or those who just don't want to worry about it too much, you can check in like Alex and go to ESPNU for updates, or just check Twitter. Like, I'll be watching the game tomorrow. Actually, I'll be home by then.
I think I got something going on tomorrow night, but I think I'll be able to catch it kind of in between work and before I go. I'll probably catch that one. If they win and they play KU, that'll be a basketball game with your coffee type game. That one's at it's like 11. What time is that? KU always plays that early game.
Yep, they play an early game. Yep,
11 something a.m. Central, and it's like 9 something a.m. out here. It's really early. K-State played it last year against Baylor at that same time slot. It's really early. So yeah, you'll definitely. Unless you're off on a Thursday at 10 a.m., or not 10 a.m., I guess it's 10 a.m. here. If you're off on a Thursday at 12 p.m., then go feel free. Hell, I don't know. Maybe some people will be snowed in, Eddie. Maybe some people will be snowed in there.
Could be snowed in by the time Thursday rolls around. We'll see what happens there. This is the Purple Project Podcast, episode 90, the Big 12 tournament preview for K-State men's. And now we flip the coin to the women's side. K-State women finish up their regular season, knocking off TCU last weekend, 61-50, holding off our big-time rally by the Lady Home Frogs in the fourth quarter there. I thought they were going to blow it. Watch this game. K-State struggled in the fourth quarter to go halfway through the fourth quarter with no points. TCU on this big, big-time run. But K-State he got some big buckets. They made some plays late in that one and got back in the win column there. K-State finishing up the regular season 19-11. And again, I've said this multiple times on the weekly edition of the podcast. I know they've struggled here down the stretch, but they surpassed my expectations, unlike the men's team, Alex. They've really surprised me. Not really, really surprised, but they surpassed my expectations. 9-9 on the conference record here, and I just had it one ago. There we go. So K-State finishes 6th in the Big 12. At one time, they're up there contending, possible contenders, to win the Big 12 after not upsetting Baylor early in the season. And then, of course, the wheels kind of came off there, and it might have started kind of going back to that heartbreak loss that we can keep referring to on the show against Iowa State, that silly bank three. That's probably the training wheels came off just a tad a little bit. And then this big-time 61 performance, the historical performance by A.O. Galee, 61 points at Oklahoma. And then the wheels definitely started to come off a little bit there, struggling offensively. not getting a little much from your supporting cast, but this time around, in this one, you get a little help. Obviously, you have a good 1-2 punch. Aoki Lee in the middle, you know what you're going to get from her. She scored 20 against TCU, and Serena Sundell finishes her first full season with two big time performances on the road. She scored 24 against OU a couple weeks ago, and then put down 18 more against TCU there in a big win there. And they head in as the 6th seed, and they play. Originally, it was going to be Oklahoma when I came home, and then I looked at it like, okay, they're going to be playing Texas, the 3rd seed. And they did not. And they finished 0-2 in the regular season. Texas hammered K-State in Austin. And then, of course, at home, K-State battled Texas, but it wasn't enough. Texas got off to that fast start in the first quarter. K-State started off slow, and then Texas just held them at bay there, and it's held them the rest of the way there. So a tough matchup right out of the gate over K-State in this one. Alex, kind of your thoughts here
on the women as they finished up 500 in Big 12 play.
Yeah, you know, any first thoughts are, you know, good thing they did not blow that game against TCU, because that would have been that would not have been great, Eddie, because they had lost prior to that one 5 of their last 6.
Yeah,
and I believe even going even further out since that Iowa State game. They had lost. I don't know. It wasn't good. I'm not sure exactly what it was.
Yeah, I mentioned it was like they were in their last 10 games. And I mentioned this last week on the pod. 3-7. Yep.
3-7. That sounds right. Yep. I think you did mention that. You're right. You did mention that. And that is exactly true. This team has just spiraled and just completely fallen apart, and so it was vital that they, well, look, Eddie, I'm just being honest. I mean, once again, no hard feelings about it, but I mean, that's just what's happened to them, and you go to TCU and you mention it, you get a big lead, but then you don't score for as long as they did, and TCU's able to cut that gap down to, I think they got up to like 5. It's kind of reminiscent of what happened in Brantland against TCU. TCU made a run in the fourth quarter. K-State couldn't get going, and eventually they were able to pull away. And Ayoka Lee didn't, I think she had a scoreless fourth quarter in that TCU game at home, but she did have 20 in the game in Fort Worth and led the team. You mentioned Sundell with 18 there. But it was good for them to get the win. They had to get a win. I mean, they could not lose that game going to the Big 12 tournament. I mean, they just couldn't do it. That would have been just so deflating, so bad. And look, Eddie, they're already in a position where it's pretty unlikely that they're going to go to Kansas City and get a win. So they really, really needed to get that game against TCU. I don't mean any disrespect by saying that, but they're playing the number 7 team in the country. You know, I mean, Texas is ranked 7th in the country. Texas swept them. Texas smoked them when they were down in Texas, and it's just really difficult. I would have given K State a chance, Eddie, if they got Oklahoma. That's what I thought. And Oklahoma, they're ranked 21st, so they're not on that same level, in my opinion, that Texas is. And K-State beat them by 37 points at home, and then K-State lost in Norman in overtime. So, kind of like I said with the K-State men's team, same thing as K-State women's team in Oklahoma. Like they can beat that team. They can play with that team. They can beat that team. They've proven that. They beat them. They scored 98 on them in Manhattan. Just insane. Yes, they only went for 61. But that's so crazy. So that was the game. If they would have gotten to Oklahoma, I would have said, okay, they can beat Oklahoma. They can beat Oklahoma, they can go on a run. Texas was never a good matchup for them this year. And I just don't have that same level of confidence in them against the Longhorns. But with that said, though, and I've said this many times, most nights, K-State's going to have the best player on the court. And whenever you have the best player on the court, you've got a shot. You've got a shot. So K-State's got some of that going for them. All it takes is they have the lead to have one of those games, you know, to be hot, to have it going for K-State to be able to knock up anybody. And that's the advantage of having a player of Aokali's caliber. So you never know. I mean, you never know. But I would say it is pretty unlikely. Once again, Texas handled K-State pretty easily in Manhattan. They blew them out in Austin, and it's just not a very good matchup for the Cats. The Cats just have not really been able to play competitive basketball in Texas at any point this season. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But once again, that just makes it kind of reaffirms the point that you needed to go to TCU and get a win. You need, because you couldn't go into the Big 12 tournament on a big losing streak, lose there, go to the NCAA tournament on a big losing streak. That's just not a good combo. Just not a good combo for them. Now, currently in the bracketology, they are an 8 seed at the moment.
And, you kind of predicted that a little bit last week.
Yep. I thought if they got a win, that they could possibly bump their bump themselves up to the 7 or the 8. So I think with another win, they may be able to bump them up a line to the 7 potentially. But I kind of thought the 7 through 10 window, and right now they're projected as an 8, playing number 9 Creighton. That's what they're projected to do at the moment. And they are also in the latest bracketology on ESPN. They are in the Spokane bracket with Stanford as the 1 seed. So Stanford, they were able to get a win. They would likely go against Stanford. They would probably lose that game by a lot, but that's okay. You know,
that's okay.
They could potentially get a win. And once again, like I said, you got Ayoka Lee on the court, and you know, give yourself a shot. So there's a lot on the line though for them, Eddie. You know, there's a lot on the line for the women's team because you know, they're playing for seeding. They're playing for seeding, and if you can get yourself out of that 8-9 game,
and
you can get yourself up into that 7-10 game.
7-10 game.
I think that would be big for them because I think that the 2 seeds scare me a lot less than the 1 seeds do. Because we talked with the 1 seeds, who's likely to be in there. NC State's likely to be a 1 seed.
South Carolina's
likely
to
be a 1 seed. Stanford's going to probably be a 1 seed.
Be a 1 seed, yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and Louisville is projected as another 1 seed as now. So,
for now.
Those are some tough matchups. But if you look at the 2 seeds, you've got Baylor's a 2. I think I mentioned this last week. Baylor's currently a 2. Iowa State's currently a 2. K-State just about beat Iowa State. They did beat Baylor. I mean, if you can match up against one of those Big 12 schools, you know you can beat both of them. LSU would obviously be tough, and UConn would obviously be tough. So those would not be easy. But it's a little more favorable. It's a little more favorable for the Cats if they get into that matchup. So that'd be big. You know, it'd be big if they could get that win over get a win over Texas. But we'll see. Texas is currently projected to be a 3 seed at the moment, and Oklahoma 4 seed. Just to give people a little more information there. But it's gonna be fun. You know, it's gonna be a fun weekend of basketball. As I mentioned, Kansas City, men's and women's. But the women's team, they have, they just got to come out. They just got to play, they just got to play their game and really try to, hit shots, play efficient basketball. And, they just need to get Ayoka Lee some help. If you can get Ayoka Lee some help, it kind of frees everything up a little bit and make it a little bit easier offensively. In case they're going to have to score some points to beat Texas. So they'll need to hit some shots, and they're not going to be able to go on any scoring drafts like the one they did against TCU.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Episode 90 of the Purple Project Podcast weekly rolls on this late Tuesday night, March 8th, 2022. Alex A. Eddie Greer, Pro Project Podcast, Weekly Edition. Yeah, Alex, you're our spot on that. We've talked about it all season long when it comes to women's basketball, obviously. Oh, by the way, K-State, Texas, play Friday night. Tip off a little bit after 7:30 in Kansas City. Looking forward to that one. Yeah, Texas, the first matchup, beat K-State by 18, and then, of course, K-State battled in game 2 a few weeks ago against Texas, but they lost to them by 11. So, yeah, I think scoring points is the name of the game. You nail it on the head there. If K-State's going to make any run in this tournament and in the NCAA tournament, they're going to need help. Well, let's just say help. They need their role players. I even said this a bunch, to step up. I've said it all season long, and I've said it all season long on the weekly edition. They need the role players step up, and if they can knock down shots, it gives themselves a better opportunity. Yes, we have one of the best players on the court every night. It doesn't help when your role players can't hit a bucket. Obviously, I mentioned Serena Sundell. She's been fantastic throughout the season. You know what you're going to get from her. Obviously, the Glenn sisters, they can be hot and cold. Jalen's been very cold down the stretch there
as well. Yeah. So Jeff Mitty sat her down, put her on the bench for the rest of that game, and put Rebecca Dollinger in the game against the TCU game, as I'm trying to do two things at the same time here. But yeah, okay, you got it here. So yeah, Serena Sundell, double S, scored 18. Of course, obviously, Aoki and Serena were the only two to score in double digits, 2018 respectively. And then Briley Glenn, only four points, 1 of 3 shooting. Jalen Glenn, who's been struggling, she's been coming, not knocking down open shots, 1 of 9, 1 of 7 from downtown. Yeah, Jalen Glenn was sat on the bench for the rest of the game in favor of Rebecca Dollinger, who had 22 minutes in the game, but she had only knocked down a three early in that ball game. Laura Mackey, you're going to get production from her. She's been fantastic off the bench. She scored 10 more points off the bench in 24 minutes of action there. You're gonna need help from the role players. That is the key. That is the key of the postseason. You get that help, you're gonna advance. That's just plain and simple in my book. If you don't, you're going home. You're going home early. You're not being Texas, obviously. You haven't shown that in the regular season, and if you don't do it now, you're not gonna do it. You're not gonna do it right. You didn't do it then, you're not gonna do it now. And of course, the NCAA tournament is a whole nother stage. Obviously, K-State is positioning themselves for seeding. Yeah, if I'm K-State, Jeff Mitty, yeah, I'm playing to get out of that 8-9 matchup. And looking at trying to get themselves in a 7-10 match, somewhere around there. I mean, yeah, those 8-9 matchups are a toss-up as it is. So I would feel very comfortable if they get seated in that 7-10 matchup somewhere in there. So, yeah, that's my key. But, yeah, the key is get help. Obviously, you know what you're going to get from Lee. You know what you get from Sundell. I've been really become a fan of Sundell's throughout the season. But which Glenn sisters are going to step up? Emily Ebert, no points in 18 minutes of play against TCU. She had a big game a couple weeks ago with seven. That was Laura Mackey, I think. But she had a big game a couple weeks ago somewhere down there. So you're going to have some help. If they can knock down shots, it opens things up for Big 5-0 down low to make her dominance down low. And get out of those double teams, hopefully. Get out of those double teams and do what Aoki Lee does all season long, is make tough shots around the rim, protect the rim. But if you don't, then we're going to see what we have been seeing from the second half of the season, which teams have doubled up Aoki Lee and made other role players make shots. That's as plain and simple. They want to make other role players beat you. Sundell beat you, Glenn, Briley Glenn, Jalen Glenn, those girls. So you can knock down shots. You're going to make the opposing team a lot more tougher to defend you than just doubling Aoki Lee and then you guys throwing up bricks. So looking at, and real quick here, I had to pull it up here, obviously. You called out first team, second team, and all that. I'm going to do this for the women's team here while I'm on it. Aoki Lee, no surprise, first team, Big 12 team, of course, with a counterpart, Nigel Pack, on the men's side. And then you go down here to the all-freshman, or actually defensive team first. That's where you're going to find Aoki Lee on that team as well. Joined by Roy Harmon of Texas, their opponent on Friday night, Tiana Jackson for our improving KU team, Lexi Darnowski, Iowa State, and Alyssa Smith of Baylor. So Aoki Lee on the all defensive team and first team all Big 12. And then you advance yourself to the all freshman team, and that's where we find Serena Sundell and Briley Glenn of Kansas State. Congratulations to those girls. And they are joined by Kelby Washington of Oklahoma, Roy Harmon of Texas, and J.J. Quinterly of West Virginia there. And obviously, the way that is shaking out right now, at least for Jeff Mitty's women's team, I know there's still unfinished business left in the season, but they got a good core. They got a very, very good core of young girls for a couple years to come with those two, and then you add in Jalen Glenn, the other Glenn's sister, in there as well. So definitely, definitely. And then we talked about this in the a few weeks ago on the weekly edition of the podcast, Alex, that everybody's returning for this K-State team next year. So this, in my eyes, is kind of experience for all of these girls on this team with the postseason and all that, the hot start earlier this year, and just kind of cooled off, very, really cooled off down the stretch. Yep. And here they are, playing its third-seeded Texas again, which they've struggled against throughout the season. So this has been a trial by fire this year for this K-State women's basketball team.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Eddie. First off, how the hell did they really not get the Big 12 Player of the Year in the women's team? I don't believe she got the Big 12 Player of the Year. I just don't understand that. Top five, literally top five in scoring in all of college basketball, literally in the top five in blocks in all of college basketball, and also in the top five, I believe, in rebounds in college basketball, although I can't find that stat, although I am relatively certain that she's in the top five in rebounds.
I think that's right.
She is just, maybe she's just outside the top five, but she's still right there. So, anyway, I don't on earth did she not get Player of the Year in the conference? I have no idea. I have no clue. But anyway, pivoting off back to your original point, you're right, Eddie. This is a team that finished last in the conference last year.
And with better talent, they had I'm gonna jump in here real quick. They had a lot of.
Yeah, go ahead and jump in.
Yeah, they had a better. I thought they had a better talented team than the one this year.
Oh yeah. It was. Man, let's remember they were picked to finish in the top half of the Big 12.
They were picked like third or fourth last year.
They were picked somewhere in that ballpark, and they finished 10th. They underperformed big time. It was really, really disappointing what they did. We were talking about Jeff Biddy's job last year, rightfully so, by the way. After that performance, and you're talking about this team has got to, they got to do better next year. Like that is not okay, especially with a player like Elite. We talk about those once in kind of a decade type players. She's one of those once in a decade type players. You're not going to have another one for another 10 years. You got to take advantage of it. You got to take advantage of what you get in K-State. Keithan gave me a little grief for this, but I'm sticking by it. I don't care. It's the truth. It's not going to be racking in top shelf talent every year. That's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen in Manhattan, Kansas, and nothing against K-State or Manhattan, but they're just not. And so you've got to take advantage of when you have it. You get a player like Ayo Belay, and you've just got to find a way to better utilize it. And I thought that's exactly what they've done this year. I think this has been more of a team. I think that they've done a better job of finishing games. I think that Jeff Mitty's done a better job putting them in good positions out there on court. I really think they got a lot of good young players. A lot of good young players that really bought in, bought into the system, bought into what K-State's done. And, I mean, obviously, Oakley's got that. Aokali has stepped her game up another level. She's literally done that every year of her career. She averaged 15 points a game as a freshman, 19 points last year, and then 22 points this year. So she continues to just take jumps every single year in her game. And it's not just the points that go up. I don't have the stats up in front of me anymore, but I think it was the same in the steals and the and the blocks and the rebounds. So, she continues to, raise her game to other levels, and that's something that's good. But it's a young team, Eddie, and you mentioned this is the, a lot of these players, this is the first time they're playing a season that's long, and they're going through some of these highs and some of these lows, and I think that's something that they're going to learn from. There's something they're going to learn from, and they're going to have a better idea as a team that you mentioned, that everybody coming back next year. They're going to have a better idea of kind of what the season's going to be like, what to expect. They'll probably have a better idea of kind of how to handle some of that adversity that they're going to face, and they're going to get better. They're going to get better in the off seasons, and take their, some of them are going to take their games to the next level, you'd assume, although you can't guarantee it, because we had this exact same talk about Davion Bradford last year, and he did not take his game to the next level. I'm just saying, you can't guarantee it, but a lot of them, you would assume, will probably rise their game. This really sounds like I'm picking up Davion Bradford. I'm not picking up Davion Bradford. I the last thing I want to do is pick on a college kid. I absolutely do not want to do that. He had pneumonia. He was sick, and I can't even imagine coming back from that. I just can't figure that one out. But anyway, back to women's team. So, yeah, this moment and this opportunity and everything that they go through, already, it's going to make them better next year, in my opinion. Now, how good is the Big 12 going to be next year? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And that will be interesting. That will absolutely be interesting to see. And that very well may impact kind of K-State and what they can do and kind of the goals that they can achieve. Can they win a Big 12 title? And that's something that's a possibility with Ayoka Lee as a senior. Can they get a top four seed? In the NCAA tournament, can they do these things? Are they going to regress backwards? We don't know. But I would assume that this team will continue to get better, and that these freshmen and these young players will improve their games. And I expect they will believe to improve their game. And when they come back next year, they're just going to have another year of experience under their belt. They will have. A lot of highs and lows from this season, and then they'll have some NCAA tournament experience that they can throw in there too. So it'll make them better in the end. But let's see what they do this year, Eddie. Let's see what they do. Yeah, let's see what they do when they go to Kansas City. Let's see what they do in the NCAA tournament this year. You never know. It's called March Madness for a reason. Maybe K-State gets hot and they rattle. They pull some upsets. One thing we do know about Betty is they are capable of knocking off top 10 teams. They've mm-hmm. done it this year before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can do it again. And that includes Texas. That includes any one or two seed that they may face in an NCAA tournament. They're capable of doing it. They're capable of doing it. I think it is important to mention that. Is it likely? No. But are they capable of it? Yes. So we'll see what they do this year. But I do think it's going to make it better for next year, Eddie. 100%.
Yeah, so K-State, the sixth seed in the Big 12 Women's Tournament, taking on Texas. This game will be on Friday night on the Big 12 Now ESPN+. There's our plug here on the Pro Project Podcast Weekly Edition on ESPN+. There, that is, I believe, that is the primetime game. Yes, it is on Friday night. It's shortly after 7:30. So we'll see what I'm looking forward to seeing what K-State's got in the back of tricks against Texas. Again, we already talked about it. They're going to have to knock down some shots on K-State's side of the bracket here real quick before we transition to the Out of Bounds segment here before we start wrapping up this podcast. The playing games. Texas Tech, Oklahoma State kick off the Big 12 Women's Tournament on Thursday. And then West Virginia plays TCU. TCU obviously is the 10th seed. West Virginia is the 7th seed. Tech is the 8th seed. Oklahoma State's the 9th seed. And then staying on the K-State side of the bracket, the winner of the West Virginia-TCU matchup will be taking on the number 2 seed, Iowa State. And then we'll see what happens from there. So then flipping the other bracket there, you got the 4 seed, Oklahoma, taking on KU. That is going to be a good game there. That's going to be a good game there. That's in the morning game, so obviously I'm not going to be able to watch that. But Baylor, the number 1 seed, they will play the winner of Tech or Oklahoma State, and you guys can know what to do from there. So it's going to be exciting. Municipal Auditorium was where the women's basketball championship was at in Kansas City. This tournament usually in Oklahoma City. But this year, women's women's Big 12 tournament is in Kansas City Municipal Auditorium. That is going to be exciting. So you're going to have big time basketball, not only in T-Mobile Center, but also in Municipal Auditorium as well. Big, big week, weekend coming for KC in the basketball side. So looking forward to seeing and watching a lot of Big 12 basketball this weekend. Eddie Greer, Alex Sander for the Purple Project Podcast, episode 90 here as we head down the home stretch and we're going out of bounds of Manhattan and into the NFL. We kind of talked about this off the air, Alex. Free agency starting to pick up a little bit here. And particularly in the AFC West, that's where we find Alex's team, Kansas City Chiefs. But it was one of his rival teams, Denver Broncos, making a huge splash. After all this talk about Aaron Rodgers going to Denver, Aaron Rodgers staying put in Green Bay, Russell Wilson headed to Denver. He is now part of the Broncos. Now you have, well, even if Aaron Rodgers would have went over there, you still would have four dynamic quarterbacks over there in that AFC West. David Carr, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and now you add Russell Wilson in that group. Alex, we talked about this off air before I pressed record button. AFC West, man, it's going to be something.
Oh, my gosh. Holy moly. Well, first off, somebody said this, and I 100%, I think, agree with it. They said, mark your calendars, Chiefs Broncos, Sunday Night Football Week 1. I am sure the NFL will do that. I am sure the NFL will pit Russell Wilson in his first game as a Bronco against the Chiefs, because what is going to give you more TV ratings than that? That's absolutely
That's not a bad bet.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty safe bet that you see that game Week 1. They're talking about some juicy storylines there. We'll see, but golly, Eddie. First off, Aaron Rodgers going back to Green Bay. This was so funny because I got a text chat that goes with my mom, my dad, my brother, and we're all pretty big Chiefs fans. And I got the breaking news alert on my phone that Aaron Rodgers was staying in Green Bay, and I thought, ooh, okay, thank goodness. So I sent a text. I said Aaron Rodgers is staying in Green Bay, and I literally said, ooh. And I got like the like from my brother, the love from my mom, all this. 30 minutes later, I get the notification, the push alert on my phone. Russell Wilson's being traded to the Denver Broncos, and I said, OMG, you've got to be kidding me. After the chat, he is being traded, and I was like, son of a bleep. I was not happy at the moment about that. Because I love Russell Wilson. Oh, man, him having to be in that ugly orange and blue. Oh, that's a bummer. That's a bummer. It's felt the same way about Peyton Manning. I love Peyton Manning, but then when he went to Denver, it made me sick. But look, crazy, crazy revelation. Eddie, you mentioned it. The AFC West, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, they all three were in the Pro Bowl last year. And then you throw in there Derek Carr coming off of one of his best years. He's a top. Yeah, I'm not as high on Derek Carr as some others are, but I will admit that he is a top half quarterback in the NFL. He is in the top half of QBs. But look, I'll also say this. I would not rule out the Raiders still trying to make a push for Deshaun Watson. I just would not rule that out. And while I don't think that will happen, because I think Derek Carr's been too good, I think he's been too good for you to trade him. I really do. I don't know how you trade him after the year he had last year. But if the Raiders were like, oh my gosh, look at the other three QBs in this division. We need to upgrade. And they decided to go get a guy like Deshaun Watson and bring him in, assuming, you know, if he's able to clear up all his legal issues. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. I mean, that is literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, a division that would include those four guys. So that's a complete what if, but I just can't believe that Russell Wilson's coming to Denver. But at the same time, I can't believe it, Eddie, because I said last year, Denver is next offseason, they're taking their shot. I told my brother, I said, they're taking their shot. They're going all in for Aaron Rodgers. If they can't get Aaron Rodgers, then they're going to go all in for either Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. But they're getting a guy. They're going to be determined to go get a guy. And I just don't. As I told my brother, I don't see how they don't land one of those guys. And they did. They landed one. And I knew it, but it still was like a shock to get the news. And look, they've got a roster ready that's ready to win. They got good receivers. They got a good defense. They got a good running game. Denver's definitely got some pieces to be a Super Bowl contender. I don't think there's any denying it. As much as I hate to say it, I don't think there's any denying it. I don't think it's too early to say this because, you know, we're really early in offseason. But as of right now, I still don't think that they are quite as good as the Chiefs. They don't have, I still don't think Russell Wilson's quite on Mahomes' level. I don't think that they have anyone on their roster that's quite on Tyreek Hill's level. And they traded Noah Fant, and they don't have any tight end that is on Kelsey's level. So they still don't quite have all those guys with those ceilings that the Chiefs do, but they've got a good defense, a lot of good young players, and I don't think that there's a – I think they're pretty close. I do think the Chiefs are the better team. I do think the Chiefs are the favorites still to win the West, but I do think that the Broncos are still a Super Bowl contender, and I think they could win the West if the Chiefs don't have a great year. So it's going to be interesting to see the way it plays out. And look, Justin Herbert's going to get better. There's no doubt about it. I love Justin Herbert. He is a beast. He is a complete beast. Saw him in person this year. he is a really, really good young QB. And that Chargers team has got a lot of talent. They're returning a lot of that talent this year. And they just re-signed Mike Williams to a big deal. They're trying to get Yeah, they're trying to get a Wasu. Their defensive end signed to a long-term deal as well. Outside linebacker, hybrid linebacker DN. And they're going to be active. They're going to be active to get some guys too. So the Chargers are going to get better. The Broncos are obviously better. That definitely puts pressure on my Chiefs to go out and have a good offseason because, you know, a quarter of their games this year are going to be against, I shouldn't say a quarter, but almost a quarter of their games this year are going to be against Russell Wilson and Justin Herbert. So four games against those two quarterbacks. So buckle up for that. So they'll have their work cut out for them. But, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best, Eddie. Yeah, that's the old saying. So, we'll see. What does it mean for Tyler Lockett? What does Russell Wilson leaving Seattle mean for K-State or Tyler Lockett? I've seen a bunch of people, because the Chiefs need a receiver, and they're going to go get a guy this offseason. I have seen people, a bunch of Chiefs fans say, go get Tyler Lockett, go get Tyler Lockett. I don't think that the Chiefs would do that. Tyler Lockett, gosh, he's got to be coming up close to 30 now. I don't think that they would go get a guy that old. Crazy to go to Tyler Lockett bowl. He and I went to school together. That's insane. He and I graduated the same grade, and I'm calling a bowl. I just turned 30, though, so what should I expect? I don't think the Chiefs would go get that. But because Tyler also just signed a huge deal, so he's on the hook for a lot of money. But that'd be interesting. It'd be interesting if you go get another K-State or drop him in that K-State offense. That Chiefs offense. I wouldn't complain with that. Tyler Lockett's a beast, Eddie. Tyler Lockett's a beast.
He is. He definitely is.
But and look, Seattle's not stopped. They cut Bobby Wagner.
Right? Yeah, I saw that.
Yep. And so I don't know why Pete Carroll would want to do a complete rebuild in Seattle, but it would appear that that may be what they're doing. And we haven't even started free agency yet. Free agency officially starts in a week. So just imagine what we'll be talking about this time next week when we hop on here. We're going to be talking about Bruce Harper being fired, and then we're going to be talking about free agency mania in the NFL, and we're going to be talking about the NCAA women's team preparing to play UConn in the NCAA tournament. It's going to be a wild show.
Yep. It's gonna be something. We'll see how the women's team fares this weekend. This definitely could be the end of the 2021-22 campaign for the basketball program, and obviously the end of the Bruce Weber era here at K-State. It's gonna be a big show next week. All that and above, and also we talked about the beginning warming up of the spring of football around the corner as well. Skylar Thompson as well, getting ready to, or if he's not already, focusing on trying to get himself right for the NFL, and that momentum carrying from the bowl game has carried into the offseason for Skylar Thompson. He's doing some good things as well. So a lot to look forward to next week. Obviously, we will talk about the results of the K-State men and women's basketball team. And of course, let's not forget about baseball, of course, and weather pending, of course, opening up their home schedule here in Manhattan, Kansas this week. Hopefully they can get that game in tomorrow. I know we're coming to the end of this podcast at around 11:30 Central Time. That game, Nebraska, the home opener, was supposed to be tonight. Got pushed over to tomorrow afternoon. We'll see if they get the whole thing in. Weather pending on that. Huge week coming up, weekend coming up, and of course a huge week for the show, unless a special guest was to come in here and pop up and talk K-State. And also I'm thinking out loud as well here as we close the podcast out, episode 90 of the podcast. I'm also thinking about colleagues as well to jump on here with us to talk K-State and other things, what's going on in their respective careers or lives as well. So I've been thinking about that as well. Sir Alex, any last thoughts?
You know, Eddie, I'm scrolling through Twitter just doing a quick look. We did touch on baseball, but they are currently in the middle of negotiations, and it seems like there might be a little bit of promise that the deal could get done. Don't hold your breath, but
I'm not.
Don't hold your breath, but there seems that Twitter the MLB and the MLBPA have been offering proposals to each other, and they seem to be closing that gap. I'm just going to share this story mentioning baseball, Ivy, and I know it's unrelated, I'm sorry, but I'm going to share it. Today, my boss mentioned to us, we had an all-staff meeting in person. We work remote, but we once a month have an all-staff meeting in person. We had our meeting, and I noticed when we were got to just like the little HR miscellaneous part at the end of our agenda, you know, it just mentioned that we're off for Cesar Chavez Day, which is something in California, you know, most, a lot of the state. The state offices are closed because of Cesar Chavez Day, and we're a nonprofit that works with government. We typically follow government schedule. So we're off for Cesar Chavez Day, which is March 31st. And my boss, who's our chief operating officer, he pointed out to me that, you know, that was supposed to be opening day, and we were going to be off for all of opening day, and we were just going to be on, like, binge-watch baseball all opening day. And I didn't realize that until he said that. And it made me so mad that we were in a lockout the 1 year that I had off opening day. And I didn't even know I had it off. I was so mad. It ruined the rest of my day. It ruined the rest of my day, Eddie, because I'm not going to be able to just sit down and binge watch baseball on March 31st, on my day off. So I thought I'd share that with you since I'm thinking of baseball at the moment. But yeah, look, in regards to other sports, Eddie, I'm excited to see what happens with basketball. We're obviously in March now. March Madness is obviously a great time of the year. K-State probably won't be doing much in it, but it's always a great time regardless of whether or not K-State's in it. March Madness never fails. It never disappoints. There's always great upsets there. We're already seeing them in conference tournaments this week.
Yes, we are. Just yes,
wild,
we are. Yep.
Just some wild mid-major tournaments, endings to some of these mid-major tournaments, and so we're already seeing it. I'm sure we'll see it from the weekend, these conference tournaments, and then once we get that that field of 68 set and going, buckle up, because it's, I saw somebody say there's going to be a lot of chalk on brackets this year, and I think that's right. There's no definitive team anywhere. There's no team that I would consider head and shoulders above anybody else. I think it's going to be pretty open field. I think that's just going to make for a fantastic tournament. And look, I think that Baylor's got a shot at repeating. I really do. If they can get healthy, I think that they've got a shot at repeating and then doing the back-to-back national champions thing. Look, I'll say this too. I think KU's got a shot at winning a title. Most years, I actually don't think KU has a team that's worthy of winning a, or not worthy, I should say. I usually don't think that KU has a team that's actually a national championship contender. With more years than not, they may dominate the Big 12, but I just feel like there's usually some teams that are just better than them. This year, I actually think that KU has a team that could go win a title. I really do. I love them. As much as I hate KU, I love the way this team plays. This KU team plays it. The way that they move the ball, they push it, they score, is really, really difficult to defend. And I think it could be a good combo for them in March. I think the question is just, you know, can they get enough defense? You know, can they get enough defensive help and, you know, be able to deal with some of those, teams that might be able to match what KU does offensively. But it'll be interesting to see what the Big 12 does in March, and to see if the Big 12 can live up to kind of the height they've gotten all year as a top conference. So definitely eager to see what happens there. And, you know, like I said, March never disappoints. So, you know, we'll, you and I will be putting our brackets together here in a week or so, and then we'll be marking them with probably chalk.
Pretty much, ripping them up as well. So, yep. Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. And, yeah, the selection show should be this Sunday after all the conclusions of the conference championship games are in the books as well. So definitely we'll have it all broke down. And, of course, we'll keep a closer eye on the K-State women. The men play tomorrow night on ESPNU. ESPN Plus, the Big 12 Now Network, will have K-State and Texas on the women's side of the bracket. Huge, huge weekend of sports coming up as well. Baseball, I can talk about that. That's going to be a whole other podcast about that. But it's time to wrap things up on another edition of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly. In the books, 90 episodes. In the books, the countdown to 100 is on. Good luck to our Cats in Kansas City this week, starting with the men tomorrow. This podcast episode will go out around lunchtime tomorrow, so get ready for that. Alex, we will do it again next week as soon as K-State women have their seating and everything and what day they're playing. We'll probably schedule something for that. So
sounds like a plan. Yeah. I look forward to it, Eddie, and you know, hopefully everybody enjoys the basketball game, Eddie.
All right, go Cats! This has been another edition of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly.
listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.